Welcome to the Business of Property Podcast. I'm Simon.
I'm Stuart.
We've been finding, buying and growing income from property for over 20 years, and we talk every week about the reality of running property businesses. Before we get into the topic for today, we would really like it if you could leave us a rating or even better, a review. We really do appreciate them, and they really do help people discover the Business of Property Podcast and hopefully bring property into their lives. So this week, we thought we'd talk a little bit about some property problems or property sort of business and property portfolio problems. Stuart and I talk to lots of landlords in our day-to-day lives, and there are some sort of common themes that come out of these conversations. So we thought we'd share some of them and talk through what could potentially be done to sort of help improve these situations. So where we're going to start today is quite I think this is a very, very common situation. And this is where you've got an experienced landlord who's been building a portfolio over time, and they've ended up with quite a mixed portfolio. So they might have a buy-to-let because maybe they started there, or they're sort of an accidental landlord style. They kept their old property or something. But then they've been tempted into something else, and they've thought, maybe I'll have a commercial property. That would be a much more reliable income. So now they've got a buy-to-let property and a commercial property. And then they maybe think, perhaps serviced accommodation or some other style will be a better business for the future, or something that they want to build. And then they go down that route. And after 5 years, 10 years of being in property, they might end up with sort of a couple of buy-to-lets, a shop that there's a commercial property, and then something else. Maybe it's a serviced accommodation, maybe it's an HMO, or maybe it's some land that they want to develop, or all sorts of possible mixed portfolios. And they're sort of sat there with all these properties and thinking, well, these are all very different businesses. What should I do? Should I keep running all of these different businesses? Or should I sort of rethink the business as a whole? And yeah, what do you feel about that, Stuart?
Well, the first question I have is, why is that a problem? So we say, we come into property to create wealth, and I've started building a property business, and I've got all these things. I've got buy-to-lets, I've got a commercial property, and I've got land. Why is that a problem? Well, my point of view, my opinion on this is that it's a problem because of what you just talked about, is that you're firstly running lots of different businesses. Challenge number one. Why is that a problem? Because you have to have many different disciplines and think about many different things. And I think this is part of it, and this is not a problem we'd actually listed, but part of the problem is that most of us come from different sectors, different backgrounds, and for some reason we come into a new sector, e.g. property, and then try and do loads of different strands within that thing. And so for me, it really comes down fundamentally down to almost task switching, which is trying to do lots of different things and knowing lots of different things. Because I will quite happily put my hand in the air, and you know, if I'm speaking with someone, they ask me about a commercial to residential development, I'll say, yeah, I'm not your guy. Now, I can talk about the principles of finance. I can talk about how you're funding it. And there is a part of me that knows that I would understand it because, there's lots of things I do understand through property, but it's a very different animal to doing a buff and fluff on a one-bedroom flat buy-to-let, as is serviced accommodation. And I'm experiencing that myself because I have lots of, rooms. We have a buy-to-let and I have a serviced accommodation. Now, managing the serviced accommodation takes a very different set of skills and time and knowledge than it does to manage rooms, as it does to just have someone in a flat for 2 years that I only hear from once in a blue moon. So that's why that's a problem. So I just wanted to underscore that, because that's what we're talking about. Because you might go, well, actually, having all those things, surely that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's diversification. It's spreading your risk. So yeah, maybe it is good. But I think really the problem comes when you're one person and you're trying to do all of these things, and you've just got limited time. And I mean, maybe you've got a day job as well, and it you only have a certain amount, a certain quota of time to dedicate to your property business. And hence you have to kind of choose what you're going to focus on. Because as you say, they're such different businesses. Running a service accommodation business is so, so different from a buy-to-let, for example, not least in what you need to do on a day-to-day basis, but also in terms of the amount of effort that's required.
I have a mix that I've just talked through, some of which I employ person directly, others I'm outsource. So it's not that I'm even doing it necessarily all of it myself, but it still requires that mental change. And as you say, I agree. I think it's fine. If you ended up at the end of your investment journey in 20, 25 years' time, and you have that mix, I don't think there's any problem with that whatsoever. What we're talking about is most people, when I say early on, I mean first 5-10 years, is that they do that. They have this smorgasbord of properties, and it's called people call it shiny penny syndrome, that, that they look over there and they see something that, like you just said, and it looks really interesting, but it always distracts us from the very thing. I like to just remind people, because shiny penny syndrome sounds really nice, what it really means is lack of focus. It means you're not focused on the things that are most important. And this leads us into actually the problem, the second problem, number two. So, first problem that we encounter lots is that people have a lot of different things going on. And I personally spoke with someone very recently that had the issues that Simon's just outlined. They actually had some really good, property with land on it. They'd split the titles, they'd buy-to-lets, all of that going on. But, and actually in this occasion, they did have they had an objective. But the problem that leads most of us, because I'm including myself in this, because I did exactly the same, by the way, for the first year and a half, until I slapped myself around in the face and realized that I just needed to focus, was a clear vision and a strategy. And that can sound really grand, but it's not really. But we do need to dig into that a little bit, because a vision is required, because we need to know where we're going to get to. Because if we've got a vision of I just want to build a portfolio of X size to bring me X income, we can skin that cat in so many different ways that it hasn't really answered the question. So what is the vision? And I said this to someone face to face and said, what is it you want? Well, I said, what's your vision? And they said, well, I want to own X number of properties. And I said, that's not a vision. That's just an objective, right? So we don't have to be grand about it, but we do need to sort of put some detail into what it is we want to achieve. And the reason a vision is important, because without the vision, you can't build a strategy, which is, again, a grand word, because strategies and plans are very different. For me, strategy is just a little bit further thinking, and then we need a plan to execute the strategy. But until we've got that vision, we have no strategy. So if I wanted to stay involved in a customer service industry, and that's why I do quite like service accommodation, then I'd think about building out that business. If, depending on what my vision was, I might, follow, Simon's path and just, have buy-to-lets that are quite hands-off, but deliver a bit of income. So vision and strategy for me are very, very important to mitigate some of the other issues that we've just talked about in terms of having lots of different things going on.
Indeed. So when people sort of find themselves in this situation where they haven't had a very clear vision or strategy, and they've ended up following shiny pennies all over the place and have now got a collection of things, what do you think people might want to consider doing to improve that situation?
My view is very simple. It's you need to take yourself away, take yourself out of the business, out of the house, go and sit in a coffee shop, cup of coffee, put any electronic devices away, get a blank sheet of paper, and try and really get to what it is you really want to build. in term, and that is, you know, a key. And funny enough, because it does kind of lead us on to, one of our next problems. But sitting down and getting that time to think about what it is I want. Now, the next problem that is mixed into this is that, and again, you know, if we ask people what they want from property, I can almost guarantee 90% of people will say freedom. And again, I am in that bucket. So people will say freedom. They'll say legacy. It could be income. But those words cover so much ground that we haven't really articulated to ourselves what it is we want to do. So again, this is coming from a place of experience, because that word used to annoy the hell out of me, because I always say, I just want freedom. I just want freedom. But what did that mean? So I had to start digging into what that meant. It meant financial freedom. It meant that I could work when I wanted to work. It meant I had flexibility around work. It also meant that I would be trying to cover my existing salary that I was getting at the time. So already I've built sort of a bit of a picture of what it was. I wanted flexibility in life, because we've talked about this on previous episodes. There's no point in building, you know, something and then you suddenly realize, oh, this doesn't suit me at all. And I would say, you know, I looked for flexibility in property. I had probably equal amounts of flexibility, if not maybe a little bit less on occasion, because I had to go out of the house more often. So maybe I didn't tick that box.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You can end up building yourself a new job, really, can't you, if you're not careful. And as you say, I think when you're going away and thinking about what you really want, it's important to look at what you're doing and what you enjoy. What, not just do you want freedom, but what does freedom look like? As in, does it mean you just have enough money in the bank that you can always sit on a beach? Or would that be boring? Would freedom actually be that you can carry on working and doing what you want to do, but just without needing to worry about whether you lost that job? So maybe you still want to have a job, and you still want that freedom to work in a day job. So you don't want your property to take up much time, but you want that freedom to not have to worry about potentially losing that job or needing to change the job or whatever. So maybe it doesn't actually mean stopping work. It's, yeah, there's lots of different definitions of freedom. And I think if that's even what you want to do or achieve. I think it's always worth, as you say, having a blank sheet of paper and thinking about what it is that you enjoy, what it is that you like doing in your property business or in life generally, and how you can re-engineer things to better achieve that.
Yeah, and just for a tip for anyone that is thinking about doing this or for themselves, I would say, a lot of us know what we don't want. We find it very hard to articulate what we do want, but we I don't like this and I don't like that. Start there and do write down the opposite. That's what I tend to do if I'm really struggling. The other part of that is we just talk about things like legacy as well. And in the examples we'd given before, where people have, again, they've got this smorgasbord of property, but not only that, they've got these mixed ownership structures. And again, I'm very guilty of this, because I own properties in limited company, in personal names, and also with other people, so joint ventures. So there's a lot of that going on. And so when people talk about legacy, and someone I met with very recently, and I'm going to give you a shout out, Michael. Hello, Michael. He had done a lot of groundwork in terms of, power of attorneys, writing wills for his partner and himself, and, you know, thinking about all of that. Now, I am extremely guilty of not, I have not done any of that. So I am not prepared for these things. But when people talk about legacy, I would say that probably 80%, if I'm using the Pareto principle, 80% probably haven't thought about, what that actually means. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that have, but thinking about inheritance tax planning, you know, if we are thinking about legacy, are the properties structured in such a way that there is lack of, you know, that we are making ourselves as tax efficient as possible to pass those properties on? But again, I think what a lot of us are, we get quite short-sighted, because we roll our sleeves up and we get busy, and that's good, but we're not doing those structural things. And so the example of another person I spoke with recently, they had the same thing, and that had complicated matters, and they to simplify, they were now looking at spending X thousands of pounds to get personal properties into the limited company structure. Now, I'm not going to get into the detail of that, but I did look at that myself as well. But essentially the effort and cost outweighed the benefit. In fact, there was negligible benefit. So I just thought, I'm going to live with it. Obviously, there might be tax benefits depending on your size of property, size of portfolio, the value of the property, and so on. But the point we're making here is that if you do that on day zero, you don't have to worry about any of this because you've already started to build the thing the way you want to build it in to reach your objectives and goals, whatever they are.
Yeah, quite. On the moving properties around conversation, that's a very complex process, almost certainly involving tax and, as you say, expenses and fees and what have you. So yeah, I think that's always something to consider very carefully, and also get very very firm professional advice in that particular area, because that is very complicated.
Yeah.
But if you conclude that you can't sort of easily move properties around, because this is one of the big problems with property, is that it's very illiquid. So you build up this portfolio and you've got lots of different things doing different styles of businesses. And you've now decided you want to simplify life, and you are a little bit stuck with what you can do, because you could sell properties. And indeed, that's a way to actually move properties into a business, is you can sell personal name ones and then buy again in a business. And you can use that opportunity to actually improve the properties you've got, or choose properties you're happier with potentially. But and sort of, if you just decide you don't want to go down the buy-to-let route anymore, you want to focus on serviced accommodation, for example, you need to get rid of those buy-to-let properties. And that is a difficult task, and to some extent expensive as well. But maybe another option would be, if you don't want to be dealing with things, and this might work sort of the other way around more, if you've got serviced accommodation property that you own and you don't want to go through the effort of selling it, as you mentioned earlier, Stuart, perhaps another approach is that you focus more on outsourcing these elements of your business that you don't want to be so involved with anymore. So you could take on an agent to run that. And there are lots of different levels of agents as well. So you might already have an agent that handles the cleaning for you and the general maintenance or something. But maybe you need an agent that will actually handle all of the processes. They'll handle the bookings, the listings online, the checking in of people, checking out of people, and of course on top of that the cleaning and the maintenance and things. So yeah, maybe that's another approach to sort of refashioning your property business and reshaping it into something that you're happier with. I don't know, how do you feel? Do you feel that's a valid approach, Stuart, or do you think actually you're just making yourself another different kind of job that you maybe don't really want?
No, I don't think so. Again, if it aligns with your vision of your strategy, and for me personally, if you're looking for greater time freedom, but you know, you would outsource it, and you know, and obviously, yeah, I think most people know about using letting agents. So I think that's pretty straightforward. And on this point, the one I'm going to just squeeze in another problem is the unknown unknowns. And what I mean by that is, because what we're talking about is that a lot of us come from different sectors. Said this before, and just think that we're going to know everything. And why does that become a problem? And so this is me saying we should do some form of education, whether that's listening to podcasts, you know, reading as many books as possible. I think there's a huge amount of value out there that you can get for free, as well as doing. Yeah, so definitely when the rubber meets the road. And we've always said that you can probably learn as much from buying a buy-to-let as you know, doing a course, but I would definitely, you know, advise on some form of education. But so, for example, another person I spoke to recently, they had a commercial property and they had spent, and I'm just going to make these numbers up to protect the innocent. They had, let's say they spent £70,000 and the property was now valued at, let's just say £100,000. So they bought a property basically in cash and increased the value to £100,000. Now, the person said to me that they were going to sell this property because it wasn't working for them. Although all the cash flow, so it was rented, it was generating rental income, but the person I was speaking with said it doesn't make any money. And I said, but you are making money. Actually, you're making profit every month because you have no mortgage, and because it's a commercial property, everything's being covered for you. So yeah, I'm sure there's some costs in there somewhere. But they said yes, but you know, I put in £70,000 into this business to buy this property, and I don't have that money. So in their mind, so they didn't actually have the investment mindset, which was okay. So actually, I've got £70,000, and again, I'm using simple maths. These are not accurate numbers, but £1,000 a month. So I'm getting £12,000 a year. So actually, for my £70,000 that I've put into this property, I'm getting £12,000 back, which, whatever that is, that's quite a good return. Like in that example, it's 20%. But I said to them, but if the capital, if it's the fact that you don't like the fact that you don't have your money, why don't you just get a commercial mortgage? And the person was like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. Now, of course, because we were in this every single day, Simon and myself, every single day, and we talk to people about this every day, and we listen to things and read things every day, we just take it for granted that other people know that. And I think although the person was aware, of course, aware of mortgages and things, they would kind of say, well, but there's extra fees. And I said, but, you know, because they were concerned about paying. And of course, with commercial, there are a lot of fees. So I completely agree, because you pay your own solicitor fees, you pay the bank's solicitor conveyancing fees, you know, you pay everyone's bloody fees. However, if the, you know, so my argument is, again, it depends on the individual circumstances, but you know, if it's capital, you can take that capital out and okay, you're now paying a mortgage, so your profit goes down, but you've got whatever the number is back in your bank account. You know, let's say 65%, you can get 65K out, less all your fees, and you're still making some money. And it was like, oh, okay. So, and I thought that, you know, that was another really key moment for me to remember that not everybody, you know, and again, if you started talking to me about how we'd start project planning for, you know, to convert a tower block into residential that had previously been, you know, offices, I wouldn't know where to start, you know. So it is key to have a think about this stuff before getting into it.
Yeah, yeah. And on the note of talking to the right people, I think that brings us on to another topic, though, another problem that we wanted to mention. And we're nearly out of time, so I'll just try and mention it quickly. And that's around mortgages and ending up on mortgages that are basically too expensive. And this can come in lots of different forms. So it might be that you're on a fixed rate and you've let that revert to standard variable rate. Or maybe you're on a tracker mortgage that was fantastic a few years ago, but now, of course, is not so good with the base rate having increased. Or maybe it's because you're on a repayment mortgage. Maybe this might be because you've got a buy-to-let that used to be your home and then you transitioned it over. Or maybe it's because, for whatever reason in the past, you actually decided to buy it on a repayment mortgage. But now, with mortgages having increased and the sort of new strains around that in between rental prices or rents having not quite increased as much, you're now sat there with a mortgage that is just costing too much for any of these reasons, or probably many others as well. And maybe you might have a further complication of feeling trapped in that mortgage because you're stuck on a fixed rate still, but it's repayment or something, and you've got redemption charges if you get out of that mortgage early. So I think really the point I want to make is, if you are in a difficult mortgage situation, even if you're not sure whether it would be possible to get help or not, talk to a mortgage broker, talk to the appropriate professional, and they will probably be able to suggest a way out of it. They will at least be able to help you with the calculations to work out whether it would make sense to change from repayment to interest only, or to pay early redemption charges if you need to, in order to be able to change your mortgage product, or to find you a fixed rate again that is much lower than that standard variable rate or tracker rate that you've ended up on. Don't just sit there. Don't let this problem just carry on, but actually go out there, find a mortgage broker. There's the resident mortgage broker we have on this podcast, Simon Glastonbury. He's very nice, very friendly, happy to talk to people, and you can find his details in past show notes, or you can get in touch with us if you want, and we'll connect you. But even if you want to choose a different mortgage broker, there are lots of them out there. And really do have a go and find somebody to talk to, because it might make a huge difference to the profitability of your property portfolio.
And for me, this all comes back to vision and strategy, because the people I've... So in terms of detail, some people just have a different mindset in terms of debt bad, pay off debt. But equally, some people might come into their property business and just think about, let's say, for legacy or pension. That was the other, you know, part of the legacy thing. Oh, I just want a pension, but we haven't defined what that means. And actually have bought, they've had an event, it could be, probate, they could have got inheritance, and they thought, I'm going to buy some properties just because I want to keep that money safe. And they've bought those properties, buy-to-let properties, in advance of that, but they have mortgages on it, but their repayment, because they thought, we'll let the rents pay that over time. And having spoken with people about this, that is fine. And they thought that was the way to go, because at the end of the term, hopefully those properties have been paid off, and now I've got four properties. However, if we're looking to develop the business, because some people have had issues with cash flow, and again, if you've got the wrong mix, if you've got some in personal name and some in limited companies, so those are, generating rents, but actually getting negative profit because they're losing money because of the Section 24 stuff. And I said, well, look, why don't you just look at interest only? And they're like, oh, I just hadn't considered interest only. And I said, look, this is the reasons why, again, it wasn't advice. This is why I do it, because I think, okay, in 20 years' time, I'm hoping that the property is still going to cover it. But because they were in a situation where their mortgage, the repayment mortgage, was more than 75% of the rent, and that just grown over time. Fortunately, they were in a very good equity position in terms of loan to value, but they weren't making any money. In fact, they were losing money because of the mortgage, and it was just that they'd set and forget. So again, comes back to vision strategy. If I want to have some unencumbered properties at the end of it, maybe repayment is the way to go if you're getting a mortgage. But if you're looking for some immediate cash flow, or cash flow in the next sort of like 2 to 3 years, then interest only would be better, because obviously the costs are reduced. But so that is why, for me, it always comes back to knowing where we're trying to get to.
Indeed, indeed. And where we're trying to get to is the end of this podcast episode, I'm afraid. So thank you very much for listening. I really hope that this gives you some food for thought around choosing your vision, or setting a new vision and strategy for your property business. And we hope that along the way, you'll be kind enough to leave us a rating or review for The Business of Property. And you can always reach us if you have questions or anything else you'd like to talk to us about on show@thebusinessofproperty.com. And Stuart and I will talk to you again next week.